Sharon will give you one. I have to tell you, I've never discussed about this or talked about it, because I don't know why. I guess I just never felt it was. Is it on? Let's see. Yeah, I think it's on. Yeah. Because it's something that is. There's really nothing to say. Well, if you. How can I say it? I don't know how to say it. When we talk about lying, it is a problem. It's not only a problem, it's a sin. I think we are so accustomed to it throughout our lives, being very honest, all of us, very accustomed to it all of our lives, that we don't actually realize how God feels about it. But when you go to Revelation, and there you see those that will be cast into hell. If I remember rightly, the very first one is a liar. Now, what is it that God seems to feel very strongly about lying? That's what we want to see today. That's what I want to talk to you about. Because it's very easy to find ourselves in a lot of little, what we like to differentiate and call little white lies. But today we're going to talk just to understand why lying itself is a problem to us and to God. Now, actually, I think if we were to sort of put it all in one word, the greatest amount of lying comes from fear. You know, fear that people won't like us, fear that if they find out what I've done, I'll get in trouble. You see, this is the thing we were taught about lying with children. They'll tell us that this is something that many times is caused by the parents' misunderstanding. We can be so hard on our children when something happens, particularly when they're very young, that as they're coming up little by little, that we immediately judge them and punish them. Until children get to the place, they are afraid to tell you the truth. And that's why many times our little children lie. They don't want to be punished. They're afraid how you're going to react. They don't want you to think they've done something wrong. And so then in their little lives, they've learned this cunning way of deceit. That's what it is. It's a cunning way of deceit through lies. Now, it came into us, of course, by the fallen nature. We were born in sin. We have natural tendencies not to trust God. You say, you mean we have natural tendencies not to trust? Why do you think it's so hard to have faith? You know, stop to think of it. Because we have a tendency not to believe God. Whatever the reason you feel that, whatever it might be, but actually we have a tendency not to trust God. Now, there is something about not trust that actually you look at life a little different. We have a natural tendency to listen to Satan, the father of lies. And you know, it came across me just this last week or so. Adam had lived such a wonderful life. Everything perfect, enjoying the food, the weather, the animals, his wife, being content there with God, seeing them and talking with them in the evening. He really, and I think we can say he was a godly man. God made him, and he was living that type of life. He was a godly man. But it occurred to me how rapidly evil takes over. For when Adam sinned, and of course, he wanted to cover his nakedness, and he didn't want to see God. He was fearful. But when God came, God gave Adam an opportunity. He said, Adam, what have you done? He really gave Adam an opportunity to say, oh, Lord, we did it. My wife and I, we failed you. I'm so sorry. But that isn't what came out of Adam's mouth. The first thing that came out of Adam's mouth was, it was my wife, the woman you gave me. You see? He went from a very godly man to a man that, to me, to say to God, it's a woman you gave me. It was a belligerent way. It was something in him that was very evil from the very beginning. So we have to recognize that sin has in it, in the very nature of sin, is there's that evil spirit that seems to be prevalent in our thinking and, of course, now in our world about us. And so we have to understand that it's not hard to try to deceive each other, to hide from the truth. Now, when I talked about children, I want to talk about your husbands. You know, you can make it so hard on your husband whenever he says something that, being very honest with you or something, and you get very upset and you're all froze up and everything else, until a man can be fearful to tell his wife the truth. And many men don't tell their wives the truth because they don't want the blow up. So this is actually the very nature of what we're doing, but it is a deception. It's not true, it's a deception. Now, another reason, not only because of our fallen nature, but many times it's because of envy. Who was envious? Cain with Abel. You know, I thought about that. I've been thinking about these things. And I thought, Lord, it's only the second generation and murdered entered the world. You know, it's something to think about. And so evil was not just come in little by little, a little thing here and a little thing there. Evil didn't come in that way. Evil came in with a bounce. And so we see he was jealous. And sometimes we're envious. We're jealous of each other. And we desire sometimes to hurt others. So we'll tell lies. There are people, you know, there was a minister in our church many, many years ago, many, many, many years ago, a fine minister, and this woman accused him of something, and I'm afraid the church took it, and they put him out, and many years later, she confessed what she did. You know, lying can really be very harmful to others. And then we like to have personal profit and material gain. I have to tell you the truth. I hardly believe salesmen. I hardly anymore believe the ads. You know, yesterday I got one. This PC something wants me to back up on theirs, and they've been after me. One time I tried it, and they've been after me ever since. So yesterday it said $1 a month. Oh, that sounded good. I didn't want to have to pay $6.50 a month. I didn't want it that bad, but $1 a month, you know, wasn't some. So I'm thinking about it. Then I started to read the little letters below. That's the first month. You know, that's you know, now they're coming in our area with the, what do you call that television? That system that, it's not DCL anymore. What is it called? I don't know.
Uverse,
that's right. They're coming in and they're telling us, you know, and they're giving us this nice price. But that's only for the first year. And today we are constantly bombarded. Now, I find it very hard to hear a used car dealer said, oh, this was owned by a little old lady that only went to the store. You know, this is a good car. I feel like so many of the things that we are bound with now, we listen to in our emails, or rather internet advertising and in store and stores and when dealing with people for services, you can't always trust them. You better look for the little words, the little sentences and the small writing. So we see they're desirous for profit or main gain. So this is another thing, reason why we lie today. We want to look, and then it's the acclamation. We want to look good before others. I remember one of our Taiwanese girls, I don't know if I asked her or who asked her how much she made. And she gave us a good little sum. And then she said to me, "Mommy, we don't ever tell the truth. We always raise it." She wanted to look good. This is what I'm making, you know. So we want to look good in front of others. Oh, yes, I've done that. Oh, yes, you know, I finished that. You didn't at all. But you want to make it look good in front of others. We want to receive praise and recognition, and sometimes we lie about it. Many times people will, you know, I've read about doctors who didn't even have a degree practicing medicine. They want to make praise and they want that recognition. But I think one of the others that we justify ourselves with, we want to avoid conflict. And I sort of understand that that's the one I believe that I was talking about, the children, about husbands, and sometimes even about wives, where they feel that the what's going to happen afterwards, they can't take that. It's better just to lie so they won't have to go through that. So these are some of the causes of our lying. And most of it's based on fear. Fear that we won't look good. Fear that we won't get the sale. Fear that we'll not be able to avoid conflict. So sometimes it's very, very hard. And we do live in a world where this is so prominent, it's not even thought anything about much. But do you know how it molds your character? Because when people learn that that you don't tell the truth, you're branded with that. We may do it all the time. We may have lots of it all around us and little white lies and all. But when they find out that you're a person who lies, they brand you that. They don't trust you anymore. Well, they may lie, but they haven't got caught. See, you caught them, so now this is what they are. So Ephesians tell us, having put away falsehood. Now he's talking to the young Christians. He says, after putting away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Now you have to understand that in the kingdom, we are a body. He talks about being a body. That we have, that each one of us is a different part, does a different thing in the body of Jesus Christ. But he constantly talks about the unity of that body. So when we bring deceit and falsehoods into it, there's no more unity of the body. We have to understand, and this goes two sides. I must understand when someone, how can I say it? When somebody tells you the truth and it hurts me, I must understand that is good. But you see, that we don't understand. We think when they tell the truth and hurt us, we resent that. We get very angry at that in our heart. We may smile on our face, but not inside. But see, this is the thing we face as children of God. So we have to be two-sided in a sense. We have to be able to accept the truth as well as tell the truth. And this is not always easy. And I find myself at times, I have throughout my life, trying to walk sometimes that narrow edge. And you know what used to bother me so bad? I remember when I worked in what they used to call 5 and 10 cent store. You probably never even heard of them. But anyhow, they weren't the dollar store, but they were sort of a cut down Walmarts. It was just a family store, or a smaller store in the community. We all had our stores then, just like you do in China and Taiwan. We had our little stores then. And I worked in this one, and they had many chains of them. And so one time during my break, I went back and I wanted to get some candy. They weigh it out, you know, the nice candy, they weighed it out. And so I asked this girl, I forget what I asked her for, probably a quarter of a pound is all I could afford. And the next thing I know, she's just filling that bag up, you know. I said, I don't want, oh, that's my friend, you know, take it. Man, here I was in a dilemma. I didn't want to take that. It wasn't mine. It wasn't right. And yet I didn't want to tell on my friend, you know. I just, I was in a, and I mean, I went through a lot of battle with that thing. Finally, I said, I got to tell. But what I did, I went to the supervisor and I said, you know, one day I was getting some candy and I got too much that I didn't pay for. I wouldn't tell her who the girl was. But I, so she said, oh, that's all right. That's all that agony I went through. And she said, oh, that's all right. You know, that kind of thing. But those are the kind of things sometimes as a Christian you do come up against. And there are other times that we have to be very careful. I've had to, at times I start to say something and I think and then I say, oh, and then I try to tell. But Miss Walk, she's the lady that was sitting up here with me. We worked together. We've been friends for many, many years. And she used to say to me, Jean, you don't have to tell the whole truth. What she meant was I have to tell the whole situation. That's just me. But there's times that I have felt, you know, that maybe if I said it this way, they would take it a wrong way. I've had to be very careful with lying. Very, very careful. I guess because I must have been a good liar when I was young. I can't remember so well. But I know how many times I've had to come up to these questions and work them out in my life. You know, lying is hated by God. He hates jealousy, and he hates lying because it's deceiving the truth. And you see, He is the truth. I am the way, the truth, and life. So to Him, truth is very precious. And in reality, truth is very precious. Miss Walk was telling me about her cousin. He had someone wanted him to keep the dog for him. So usually the dog stayed inside, but he was outside and he wanted the dog out there, but he chained him up so that he would not run away. Well, I don't know if it was that night or if it was during, when it was, I don't know. But the dog died. Here he's taking care of this dog, and the dog died. He said, oh, what am I going to do? So he took a bag, put it, the dog in it, went up there through the mountains and threw it down in the brush. When he got home and the man came and he finally told the man that that the dog died. But he told the man, the dog, he said, the dog was down here, and I came downstairs, and he was dead. Well, that wasn't true at all. He had him chained, and he was out. I guess he was outside, but he wanted them to know he didn't do anything wrong, you know. The dog died in his sleep. Anyway, that was the first one. And then a little while later, they called him, and they said, you know, we have a pet graveyard, and we would like to wherever you buried the dog, to get him for us. Well, he didn't bury the dog. He threw it out in the bush. So here he is in this dilemma. And he said, oh, I'm afraid now the dogs have got it. Somebody's, you know, dug it up. And, oh, he was giving him all these. No, they wanted him to try to find it, at least try to find it. So he said, okay, I'll try it. So he said, I went up the mountain and I drove around. And I thought, oh, here's the place. And then he said, I got out and I had to go around because it was all briars and bush there. And I had to go around. Finally, he said, I saw the bag. Sure enough, there was the bag. So he was, but trying to get the bag, he had to go up this brush. He lost his shoes. He hurt his toes. He was having a miserable time. And he finally got the bag. So when he got the dog, brought it out, you know, the bag didn't look like it had been buried. There was no dirt on it. There was nothing on it. So he got himself another bag. So when the man came, he said, I put him in another bag. Now look how often he had to be able to know what he had said, trying to make up his lie all along. That's the one thing about lying. You've got to remember what you said or they'll catch you in it. So, and usually one lie leads to another many times. So, but we see that God is not pleased with this. So we have to understand lying disrupts unity. Lying affects others very much. When we lie against a person, it can ruin their reputation. It can cause bankruptcy. It can, divorce. You know, sometimes they're, you know, our little ladies, sometimes they're so informative and they see something and they go and tell the wife, you know, I don't want to hurt her. I think she should know this. And we tell her, you know, and before you know it, it's their marriage is broken. It comes many times from a lie. Lying compounds problems. That's just like I was saying about that man. If he had said to him, you know, I was outside and I chained him up so he wouldn't run out in the street, he would have been finished, you know, and he died while he was there. He was an old dog, so the man understood him dying in his sleep or whatever. But look how simple that would have been to tell him. And no doubt the man probably was okay, you know, but he had to go all through this because he lied. And that's what happens many times when we lie. We have to go through a lot more problems. Lying to others is really lying to God because God loves truth. Lying, liars associate with liars. Now, I'm not altogether sure that that's altogether true, but, you know, when gamblers get together and when my uncles get together, they can really tell some good stories sometimes, you know. But they say they congregate. I'm not sure about that. And I have scriptures for all of these. Please look them up if you wouldn't want to study on this. A liar begins to enjoy lying. It becomes nothing to them. Gets them out of trouble. It lifts them up. It gives them a good light on their life. People think they're in that circumstances. So lying many times becomes rather enjoyable. It's a way of life for them. Liars who pass off lies with jokes. They'll tell you a joke and then they'll say, oh no, I'm only teasing. But they're really lying, wanting to hurt someone, wanting to get their point across, wanting to sometimes to make you feel bad. And so we see liars are far-reaching and multiplying sins. That's true. You know, we used to teach the children about not lying. And one of the stories that we had was about a mother whose little son lied to her. And so she took a pillow, feather pillow, took it upstairs. And she had the son open the pillow. And he did, and she said, now, pour it out. He did, and it flew every which way. And she would say to him, now pick them up. Oh, I can't pick them up. They've gone all over. She said, that's what happens to lying, when we lie. So just a simple story, but it is truly far-reaching, and many times it's multiplying. And lying is exposed with time, many, many times. I have a friend in Cayman Islands, and on his Facebook, he had a court scene. It was really very pitiful. It was two children, 26 and 32, and their mother and father. And they found out, or they heard that the father wasn't their father. And they went to court to prove it. Through DNA or whatever, and they proved that neither one belonged to the father. Then the mother said, well, this son isn't really mine. My cousin died when she at childbirth, and I took her. And those two young people were very, very upset. She said, you mean this man that's been with me all my life gone to everything that I had, taken care of me, is not my Father. You see, sometimes our lies catch up with us. Very sad situation. You know, sometimes telling the truth is tough. I agree with that wholeheartedly. It's so much easier not to tell the truth. But you know, you've got to learn some things. You have to learn that you cannot please everyone. You just tell it as it is. And I don't mean harsh. And maybe you don't even have to tell it. Maybe you can have the Third Amendment. I don't really want to talk about that, you know? But we have to learn that we can't please everybody. And then you have to realize I'm not responsible for everybody's feelings. I have to tell this the truth, and I know it may make them feel better, but I'm not really responsible for their reaction. And then knowing how to speak the truth in a loving way. The problem so many times is it's harsh and it's hard when we accuse. But there's a way of doing it that we can do it in a loving way, a way that doesn't hurt. Sometimes when a child does it, you know, I look at Ethan or Elisa. Well, Nana, Lisa? Oh. You know, we don't have to come at them hard. And sometimes when I find it out, that's the time to teach. That's the time that we don't react to it as a child. We teach during that time. Okay? Determined to be totally on. Let's see. I'm sorry. I'm getting beyond myself. And then we have to realize we're not a perfect person. We do things that are wrong. We may have to say we do. We might have to confess to it. Yeah, I did that. Don't like to, but I did. But I'm really sorry. But we're not perfect people. And you're not accountable to others who respond to the truth. You just give the truth. You know, Joyce Myers, I listen to her in the morning when I'm combing my hair. I like her because she tells so many illustrations and then gets me laughing. But I do respect the way she is trying to help people in the everyday life. And she was talking about, I went through all of that. And what was the illustration that I so enjoy? We're not accountable for others. Isn't that awful? That's what happens when you get old. What was I going to tell you about Joyce Myers, what she does, what she did? I forget now. Maybe it'll come to me a little later. Okay, we're not accountable on how others respond to the truth. And it's true. They may be upset with you. I know what it was. You may not care. When she left home, she married a boy. He wasn't a good fella. She said all that she went through. And then she said, he ran around with girls. He left her when she had her child. But one period of their married life, he needed money. And she said, I worked for a company. And I guess she was the accountant at there or whatever. And she said, I took that money. And after that, we left. And she said, I all the time that feeling, that untruth, you know, that thing that she had done, God brought it up to her many years later. And she thought to herself, well, I've got to make it right. I don't know what they'll do. They might even put me in jail. I don't know, but I'm going to make it right. So she went to the company. She told them. And then I guess she paid whatever it was back. And they were very, very kind to her. So many times when the devil tells us you can't make it right, you can't do it right, we can. We can do it, and then we're not responsible for what they say, but many times it becomes an example to them. And they recognized what it was. I can tell you that because she told it over the air to me, and so I'm not telling any truth, anything out of count. So anyway, this is what we're talking about, the fact that we can't be accountable for how people take when we tell the truth, when we go back to tell the truth or whatever. Now, how can we really get over this? And I'm not shining this morning because I want to tell you, I recognize this. This is so much a part of our culture. It's almost as much as drinking water. It's thought nothing of unless it's a child that lies to you or a husband that lies to you. But as far as the world is concerned, it's sort of an acceptable thing. So how do we get out of this as children of God, as he's trying to make us more like him? We have to discover God's consequences for lying and his hate for deceit. We probably never thought about it before, but like I tell you, the very first one that he says will be in hell are liars. So to me, that sort of puts it in perspective. He just doesn't like He is not acceptable to him. He is truth. We are his children. We are truth. So we have to understand that. And then begin to desire complete honesty with yourself. Examine your motives. Why would I want to say that? Why did I say it? And you'll find out what your motive was for saying it. And then we have to have a determination. You know, when we look at Daniel in the Bible, a boy that was just a teenager that had left his home. They had taken him and taken him to another country. They had put him in the king's palace. He could have anything he wanted there. All he had to do was follow what they wanted. But the Word of God tells us that Daniel determined in his heart. You see, that's where the victory comes. I am determined in my heart, Lord. I want to be honest. I want to be determined to be honest with you and admit my failures when I have to admit them. No, sir, I didn't get that done. I really didn't, you know. But instead of saying, I have that, you know, you don't have to worry till you can get it done. Okay, then we have to understand deciding your area of personal temptation. Stop and think before you answer. See, each one of us are tempted in different areas. And you have to stop when you think, you know, the most untruths I tell is to my boss. Or maybe it's my family, my external family, extended family, or whatever. But begin to examine yourself and find out where your weakness is. Stop and think before you answer. You'd be surprised how you can tell the truth without it being hard. You can tell the truth, okay? And decide you want your life to reflect Christ who lives in you. Because I want to tell you, when they find the Christian lying, they lose confidence in what we are. The world can lie. The world can be mean. The world can hate, but not Christians. This is what is so amazing. They don't believe in Christianity. They don't believe in God. But and the Muslims can do what they want. A Hindu can do what they want. But when a Christian, they have such a high standard for that when you do something, he's not a Christian. It's really amazing. The way it is. And then, of course, we always have to depend on the strength of God within you to enable you to change. We have to ask the Lord to help us. And, you know, I've learned that in asking the Lord to help us, he doesn't zap us, usually. When I say that, I mean just come and say, boop, and it's over. No, he doesn't. He teaches us so that we can face any encounter, not just the one he would zap. But any encounter, we can learn how to face by his strength. And then we should delight in the truth. What is more rewarding, which is more rewarding than lies? I'm always happy when a child tells you the truth. You know, it really makes me, and I honor them for it. Oh, that's good. I'm glad you told the truth. You know, I honor them for it because I feel like this is a reflection of who you are inside many times. So actually, this isn't so easy. You know, I say this, I don't mean this wrong or hard, because I love China. I have to tell you the truth, I like China. If I had was well, didn't have to have medicines and needles and things I can't get there, I believe I probably would have stayed part of the time. I love it. But I have found the new persecution. You know, they are really letting up on churches. They're letting us, in many of the areas of China now, the church with 50 people. Then after that, you have to break it up into another church. So they are, in many areas, allowing us to meet together in churches. But the real persecution is China's corruption. And I think most of you understand it. Like one of my friends said that she had a hairdressing place, and she said, I will have somebody come in, or somebody will come in, and they'll get their hair fixed or whatever they need. They leave, and somebody comes in and said, I sent them here. Where's mine? Where's my tip? Whatever it is. And that's from all the way up. Now, I say this because I know what some of the Christians have told me. I have a friend, Peter, that's in an area there who one time was a very important banker, second to the CEO, pretty wealthy, did his thing. But when he became a Christian, he said, I couldn't stay there anymore because I know I couldn't live that life. I couldn't lie anymore. So he's left that. And now he's selling guitars. I went to another meeting with a group of girls. They worked in a massage parlor, and we have a meeting with them. Crystal has, and so she asked us to go. Nice little ladies. And you know, when I say little, they're probably in their 20s, but they look so little that I think of them as little girls. But anyhow, we were talking, and then we had a little discussion, and one girl, she said, it was easy when I was a sinner. It's hard now that I'm a Christian. And we was, you know, wondering why. She says, they want me to lie. She said, they want me to sign things that they've given this to someone, and so I have to sign it, and that's really not what it's for. It's not what they've given. She said, it's hard. And you can understand that. Until China begins to get away from this, they're going to finally break under it. And the new president has started already. The new president has told them that none of the executives, none of the top level of officials can accept any bribes. It was so cute. One lady said to me, she said, you know, they sell this very expensive wine now, very cheap. She said, you could really make some money on it. And I wonder why. She said, because that was the wine they used to give to the officials. And now none of the officials are wanting it because they're afraid to get in trouble. And one day we were in the hotel, and we like to give the little girl, you know, they don't tip there, but we like to always give them something. And the little girl said, oh, no, I can't take it now. So maybe the president is going to help settle this thing. But I'm saying that this is just this is where many times, even as a Christian, it's so hard to be able to face life the way it is and still be able to. So we need to treasure the truth. Seek the truth. Choose the truth. Live by the truth. Walk in the truth. Obey the truth. Speak the truth in love, and be faithful to the truth. And as you are, God will bless your life. He will take care of us. It may not always be easy, but thank God He will be there. So please, I'm not sitting here saying that all of you lie. I have not one idea. That's why I don't often, well, I've said I've never spoken on this, because I don't want people to think I feel, you. None of you may, but I'm just trying to give to you the idea and the recognition that this is a point that of character We're talking not only about Christian living, but character building in the lives of people. Anyway, I love you, and I hope you love me, and I have problems also. So, okay, time for coffee, time for food, time to enjoy yourselves. Pray for us the end of the month. We're going to have a retreat. The board and the leaders of the church, pray for us that God will really give us the retreat that's needed and the blessing that's needed, and that we can run the church as He wants us to. Yes. Okay, next week my couple's here. I speak next week. So they're going to be giving you a test, isn't it? Not really. But they're going to wonder, I guess, about your love language, maybe. Anyway, thank you, and God bless you. Oh, I have to tell you, Ethan's cute little thing this week. He said he was sitting watching a story on the television, and he gets engrossed in it. You don't think he sees anything. So Jennifer was trying. He has oodles of cars, so she's trying to push the cars along with her foot. You know how we do sometime. And he heard it, and he jumped up and he said, "Oh, car!" And he grabbed it up. He said, "You okay?" At least he's going to have some sympathy in his life. Children are so, you know, if you need something refreshing, just watch the children.